The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch. Celebrating the... So what does that make this? The second day of Christmas?
I think by definition, yes. Today would be day two. Two turtle doves.
And a partridge in a pear tree, which arrived apparently yesterday. Or do they go back the other way? Anyway. Time now.
It's a mystery.
For the weekend preview.
The weekend preview with a lot of football fun, including games yesterday and games today.
Wait, you're going to preview games that were played yesterday?
No, I'm just saying it's a big football weekend of fun, including the games that occurred yesterday. And now
look,
we're
we all
talk
know
the
correct today. Answer on this list.
There are several good ones to choose from, including this afternoon in Arizona.
Bows up.
Where the New Mexico Lobos and former Mark Tauscher teammate Jason Eck take on PJ Fleck and the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Eck and Fleck in the Rate Bowl. 3:30 this afternoon on ESPN.
Preview of future matchups in the Big Ten Conference.
Let's go, Lobos. Also, continuing with the bowl theme tomorrow, a couple of fun ones. The Pinstripe Bowl at 11 a.m. could be rebranded as the preseason number one and number two national championship bowl. Penn State and Clemson.
Clemson was number
Stadium.
They were two in the preseason bowl?
They were two of the preseason. It was those two, Texas and Ohio State, were the preseason favorites to win the championship. The legendary Pop-Tarts Bowl also tomorrow afternoon in Orlando. Georgia Tech, BYU, one of, that is probably the best by ranking, the best non-playoff bowl game, the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Is that the one Notre Dame quit and took their ball and pouted like babies?
Yes, I believe Notre Dame would have been invited to the Pop-Tarts Bowl to play.
To play BYU?
I think it would have been Notre Dame-BYU, yeah.
Yeah, I asked Zane Anderson if BYU turned down a bowl invitation. He's like, no, why does anybody turn down a bowl invitation? We're in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. He's very excited about
the
Pop-Tarts
Bowl. No, because you're too good. Because you feel like you're better than everybody else. That's why.
Well, BYU not taking that approach. That one I'm intrigued by. I love bowl games. So I'm guessing that one will be on the telly at some point.
There's a couple of fun ones here over the next 2 days, no doubt.
Yep.
Also, good NFL game tomorrow afternoon with our pal Rich Eisen on the call on NFL Network. Texans-Chargers, 3:30 tomorrow afternoon. That's the
very important game, too.
Yeah.
Chargers win out. They could be the one seed, I believe, and win, or no. I don't know if they could be the one seed. They could be the division champs and put Denver as a five.
And since late October, the Texans, I think, are the hottest team in the NFL. So those two playing
each other. Didn't they start like 0-3?
1-5 or something? Like they were bad.
Fact check that.
And they have been on a tear as of late, and they have a chance to win the AFC South and make some noise in the postseason. Then your Sunday NFL slate, since it's wide open with the Packers playing Saturday night again. And some good ones on Sunday. Seahawks-Panthers, noon Sunday on CBS. That is your Ian Eagle J.J. Watt game that Tausch was starting to tell us about in last week's weekend preview ahead of the curve.
Yeah, I wanted to give you a heads up. I wanted to be
We appreciate that. Yeah, we're ready for it now.
Texans started 0-3, and they were 2-4 before they beat the 49ers.
That's not quite 1-5.
Now, my mistake.
0-3 was correct, though.
Yep, well done.
Just like you were correct about the 12 days of Christmas. All right, sorry, next game.
Everybody gets one today. Jaguars-Colts, noon Sunday on Fox. Phillip Rivers might still be playing. I don't know what they're doing there. Jaguars have been really hot, though, and they are a team to watch out for. And now everyone's taking them seriously because they beat the Broncos last week. Your 3:25 game everywhere in America on Fox. Big game Burkhart and Brady on the call for Eagles-Bills, which could impact the Packers' postseason aspirations in a couple of different ways. And speaking of which, Sunday night football, Bears-49ers. Big one on NBC on Sunday night for fans of the G&G. So of all those games, a lot of fun football going on over the next few days. Tausch, which one stands out most to you?
Yeah, the Bears game is the most important. Their offense, I think, is going to have a better game than what they're accustomed to. They can't play like they did for 56 minutes against the Packers and beat San Fran because San Francisco is going to put points up. But San Francisco's defense ain't what it used to be. You take their two best players off, it makes it tough. So that game, to me, from a Packer fan standpoint, is everything because we have nothing. We can't do anything if the Bears don't lose the last two.
Correct.
We can win out, which I believe we will. And if we do, then that Eagles game is a little bit sexier, but I'm not real worried. I'm not real worried about that. I'm looking at it more from, can we still find a way to beat Kings at a Nort? And the only way to beat Kings at a Nort is for the Bears to fill their britches in these last two games. And it can only happen if it starts on Sunday night.
Couldn't have said it better myself. I agree with Tausch. Now, a couple of other things. First of all, obviously, I am definitely interested in the Rate Bowl, which will be on my television later this afternoon when I'm writing. I am intrigued by the Bears 49ers, but not for that. Not just for the reason you stated. I haven't watched a ton of the 49ers. How exactly have they done what they've done?
Quarterback play, offense. McCaffrey's
so
a stud.
Brock Purdy and Mac Jones have been both really good.
Kyle Shanahan has found a way. He's good.
Yeah, he's a good coach.
They've
beaten
a lot of bad teams. They've kind of gone the Bears route of beating the best team they've beaten in this stretch is the Panthers.
So kind of like the Packers last year?
Kind of. They've beaten up on the Titans, the Phillip Rivers Colts, the Cardinals twice. Especially in the last 2 months, they've played a very weak schedule.
Okay. I'm impressed. I also had a few 49ers fans in my mentions on Blue Sky. Not a lot of them on Twitter, which was weird. But they didn't like the fact that I called. I know. I thought it was weird because they were very irritated that I called Malik Willis the best backup in the NFL because they felt like Mac Jones was getting snubbed. And in my mind, Mac Jones is a former longtime starter in New England who is temporarily a backup because he couldn't find a starting job. Whereas Malik Willis was never really a starter.
No, he is a backup. He's a backup.
I understand.
I think that's fair criticism on Blueski. I think that's fair.
That is our weekend preview.
We should get Malik Willis in those commercials with the backup quarterbacks. I think he's earned that.
I couldn't agree more.
I would agree.
Tyler Huntley, meanwhile, will be explaining the birds and the bees and also starting a quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens tomorrow night. Does Rob Domofsky know he's on the show?
Yes. Wished him a very Merry Christmas and then said, by the way, we're working on Friday because old T said so. Do you want to join us on Friday? He said, sure.
Good. All right. Well, he is scheduled to appear next.
No?
He's scheduled to appear next after Tausch tells us about Hard Rock Casino Rockford.
Jesse's heading down to eat a little UU noodles down to the Hard Rock Casino Rockford. We still need the Packers to win one of the last two so that one of our sportsbook predictions comes true. I feel really good about that. I don't feel as good on the other ones, but I do feel good every time we head down to the Hard Rock Casino Rockford. And if you're looking to elevate your high limit experience, head on down. Hard Rock Casino Rockford, premium table games tailored for discerning players, enhanced game rules that include blackjack where the dealer stands on a soft 17. You enjoy better odds, faster play, and the kind of authentic high-limit action that sets the Hard Rock Casino Rockford apart. You got, again, all those slots, great table games, and great food, and great entertainment, and it's only 60 minutes away from the greater Madison area. So head on down 90 and get to Hard Rock Casino Rockford over the holidays.
Rob Domofsky joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Someday I'm going to stop using this joke, but it won't be today. You know what that music means? Joining us now from ESPN.com, who I'd like to complain to, frankly, about something on ESPN.com.
Was it the New Year's? Was it the Christmas Eve hours that you had to work?
No. Rob was there, though. We definitely irritated Steno. And I think that they were looking forward to getting out of there. But it is Rob Domofsky from ESPN.com. Good morning, Rob. My complaint is, I understand I'm not the same as many of the people who consume your work, but I like going to my bookmarked Packers blog page on ESPN, and I get all kinds of other stuff at the top until I can finally get to your stories. You know, Barnwell and his 7 million word stories, updated playoff odds. Like, I just want to get to what Rob Domofsky wrote. I'd also like to hear what Rob Domofsky says.
All right, hang on.
Jesse, we were rolling today, man.
We were steaming.
I don't know why it wouldn't be working. Yeah. All right. Well, you might need
Marcel Marceau of ESPN.com joins us now. That's a very niche reference.
I might have to pivot to get Rob on the phone here. I'm not sure why this would not be working.
Right. Rob will call you back. Right. Dynamite. All right. Rob's going to reconnect with us on the telly. Tausch, there was a variety of things we talked about, and I'm writing this story for tomorrow. For tomorrow. I am curious. Keyshawn Nixon has a lot of chutzpah, right? He did not have a good game on Saturday night last night. When a guy who's that, dare I say, cocky, confident, has a bad game, what are your expectations as his teammate? You expect him to bounce back in a big way?
Yeah, I think you're looking for him to bounce back and not to lose that confidence. Once you see, you know, a player like that who thrives on having that confidence, and you know, especially at that position, you need that. If you start seeing some of that erode, you start getting nervous. Yeah. Now, you can be delusional, and then it's a little different. But I think Keyshawn, he's been up and down this year, I'd say. They put him in a spot that I don't think they necessarily wanted him to be the number one corner when things kind of the way they shook out and, you know, not drafting anybody and never being able to bring anybody in. But I think for the most part, he's had more ups this year than downs. It just seems like recently it's been more downs. Yeah. And you always want to be playing your best ball at the end of the year. So I think this would be a good get-right game for him to have a day.
Well, you know what Keyshawn said about that?
I don't. Probably nothing.
Neither do I. Because in Chicago, he was prevented from speaking by Nate Hobbs.
Well, he talked this week, though, didn't he?
He did not. No, he came back in the locker room as Rob and I were getting the two-minute warning on Wednesday, and he was on the phone with his girlfriend, and that was the end of that. Rob, welcome back. You're on the phone with us now. How you doing?
I'm good. Sorry about that. I don't know what the deal was, but I was going to say, Jason,
it's Jesse's fault.
Jesse should just clip that opening monologue you had there so we can send it to the bosses, because you're preaching to the choir, brother. I don't understand it, but they say nobody goes to the Packers page. So,
yeah, well, I guess I'm a nobody then. I enjoy your work. Rob, what do you expect from Keyshawn Nixon? Because we could not get anyone to flat out acknowledge that Walker was his guy on the game-tying touchdown. Right. And, of course, as you know, in Chicago, Nate Hobbs prevented our conversation with him. What do you expect from him tomorrow night?
I mean, I do expect him to bounce back and have a pretty good game, Jason, because he has done that in the past. And you know, I know we get caught up in the whole, oh, he didn't talk to us, blah, blah, blah. I think fans would have liked to have heard his explanation, but I don't know that they're necessarily bothered by it as much as maybe we were. But I do think he's a pretty good player. Is he a number one cornerback? I mean, it's just like, do they have a number one receiver? Like, it's sort of the same thing. Whether they have one or not, he's supposed to be their best corner, and you expect him to make plays like that more often than not. And I would say for the most part, he has, but he certainly did not against the Bears.
I don't understand this. You know, he is brash. He's not afraid to talk about a lot of things. And then it's one thing if after the game, I can't imagine anyone as a player having someone else go up and say, no, he's not like that. That is,
well, I don't know,
that's
that
a little
that
goofy.
Keyshawn. Yeah, I don't know that that was necessarily Keyshawn. I think it might have been Nate Hobbs, like knowing that, you know, thinking the questions were going to be negative and blame accusatory toward Nixon, and he stepped in, which there's not much, and again, people probably don't care about this, but there's not much more that drives me nuts when you're trying to talk to player A and player B, you know, sticks their nose in it. Like, and that part of it has no business in this. But again, I don't know that anybody really cares about that.
Boy, I wish I'd have known that when I played. That would have bothered you that much.
Because you would have done it all the time.
That could have been a nice twist if I would have known that. But have you ever had that happen? Has that ever happened to you?
Well, I feel like some of your crew sitting mostly, if we were talking to somebody and they overheard a question and thought it was a bad question, would start heckling us. But no, I've never heard it. I've never had anybody like step in and prevent an interview from happening before.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Go ahead, Jay.
I was just going to say, I did think we would hear from him this week, and we waited on more than one occasion. Well, we had two locker room occasions this week, I think, so and didn't get him. So, but like if he's going to, you know, be that way, then he better back it up, you know, with his play. That's what the fans want.
So, Rob, as I finish reading Sarah Barshop's story about the Rams on your Packers page, I'm curious,
I'll have a story up there tomorrow, I promise.
Okay, I'm eager to read your work. They don't have a number one corner. They don't have a number one wide receiver. They have a number one quarterback, and I'm wondering if, as you observed Jordan throughout the week, we were at practice. I was actually able to go to a practice on Christmas Eve. And on top of that, we saw him in the locker room giving out his Nike dunks to all of his teammates and everything else. I'm curious, how confident are you in his availability tomorrow?
Oh, I'm extremely confident in it. The only question is whether the Packers would do something like, you know, not play him to you know, make sure nothing happened. But I think he'll be cleared. Look, here's what I would like to know, and we obviously don't get to talk to a player until they're cleared from protocol. Was he really concussed? Like, I mean, he seemed totally fine when we talked to him, or not talked to him, when we saw him talking to other people. And I was talking to people on Sunday night, who basically at that point expressed very little concern that he would be unavailable for this next game. So, you know, the concussion deal is interesting because it's not like you can take an x-ray and say there's a broken ankle or do the MCL drawer test that they do manipulating the knee and say, yeah, you tore your ACL. I mean, it's you know, essentially the opinion of a couple of people who observe you. So, he sure seemed pretty darn normal to me. But again, you don't want to mess with that. I'm not saying they should. But there seemed to be, at least as the week went on, you know, little concern, if no concern. Now, the other thing too, Jason, and LaFleur mentioned this week, is, you know, you could have guys that feel fine for a couple of days afterwards, and then, you know, it worsens, right? You wake up with a headache, and it's, you know, the symptoms are delayed onsetting. So, you know, I'm not trying to make light of it in any way, but it sure does seem like he's been in the clear, not literally, but figuratively all week.
Jason had mentioned that you'd irritated Steno with some of your questions, not you personally, but your group, about the hit that knocked Jordan Love out of the game and the reaction that the O-line had. Did you glean anything interesting from that interaction?
Well, I'm not sure, Tosh, if he was mad that his O-lineman didn't come to his rescue or mad that we kept asking about it or some combination of both. I do think there are some in our group, and maybe I'm guilty of it at times, that, you know, we got an answer, we got two answers that were sufficient, and we kept poking the bear. And I'm not saying it, you know, I haven't done it. I'm sure I have over time. But sometimes you got to read the room and know that, look, he said what he said. Let's go on to the next topic. And so I don't know if that was it or not, but he certainly was not in any mood to discuss that or much else further, which is unusual for Steno. But, you know, who knows what was eating at him. But, I got to be honest, I didn't think a whole lot about it live during the game that nobody came to his defense because I was so busy watching the replay to try to figure out what happened. But the more you think about it, the more it does seem a little bit unusual. Now, I guess on the flip side, like, the guy most likely to do that, in my mind, it would have been Elgton Jenkins. And Elton's obviously not playing. And we've seen Elgton do that before, if I'm not mistaken. Zach Tom also not playing, right? He did not play in that game. The other veteran, among that group. So, I guess maybe that explains it a little bit. I don't think it's, guys don't like Jordan and aren't defending him. I don't know if anybody implied that. But I don't think that's what it is. But I do think if Elgton Jenkins and or Zach Tom were out there, the reaction might have been different.
Rob, the other thing that we talked to him about, and he gave the same answer twice, speaking of repetitive answers, was about the availability of Josh Jacobs after the fumble and that he never played. And you were there when we were talking to Josh Jacobs, too, and he flat out said, I don't know why. And Bill Huber, our buddy from Sports Illustrated, asked a great follow-up. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you seem annoyed or irritated. Yeah. And I think Josh Jacobs was. What did you make of that? And I don't think we're stirring up drama here, but when a guy who's playing through an injury doesn't touch the ball again until after 6 minutes and 37 seconds left in the third quarter, and he's your bell cow running back, that is unusual.
Well, and if you go back to what Matt LaFleur had said when you guys asked him about it on Sunday, I believe he basically said Ben Sermons, the running backs coach, didn't put him in, right?
He didn't. He didn't have an answer either. Yep.
Yeah. So, who's making the call there, as far as playing time, right? The running backs coach makes the play, then somebody better go up or makes the decision. Somebody better go up and tell the running backs coach, get him in the game, right? That's part of it too, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just thought it was weird. Some might say hinky. The other weird thing, and I've gotten a lot of pushback from this story on social media, not at me personally, but at Rich Bisaccia. There's a lot of people that did not really agree with his assessment that if there's an onside kick tomorrow night, he's sending Romeo Doubs right back out there on that. He's got Romeo Doubs on one side, and he's got Jaden Reed on the other. What did you make of that? Yeah. Because I think in the room when we were talking to Bisaccia, I was kind of like, okay, well, he does have good hands. He just definitely didn't on that play. What did you think of that?
Right. Well, my whole thing with having Romeo out there to begin with is just his concussion history, right? And I'm not saying that's why he didn't make the play, but first of all, you're putting a guy at risk because you know you're going to get run over on that play. That's just the nature of the play. And two, could it possibly be in the back of your mind, subconsciously, your body reacts maybe differently because you've been concussed a couple times. So, but who else are you going to put out there, I guess? If he's one of your best hands guys, then I guess you got to put him out there. Part of it, I wondered, and I guess we won't know unless they're in this situation on Saturday night, which I guess if you're a Packers fan, you hope they're not, because that means they're in trouble. But was that just a situation of Rich just defending his guy and throwing his support by him? And then there's somebody else out there. We've seen that before, right? I believe we saw Jeff Hafley defend Nate Hobbs' play, and then the next game Nate Hobbs was not in the top three quarterbacks. So, just because it's the whole – just because something is said at the podium doesn't mean that's the way it really is. So maybe I could be reaching here, but maybe that's what it was in that case with Rich Bisaccia.
Rob, what did you take from the Lions game yesterday? I don't know how much you watched or how much you saw, but we discussed it earlier in the show, and isn't it another reminder of how tough it is to win and make playoffs year after year? Detroit is in the heart of their window. Like, they should be right where they, and they fall short after 2 years. What do you make of all that?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, you know, I would have guessed that if you would ask most people going into last year's playoffs that, you know, the Lions are going to get a bunch of shots at this thing, and most people would have said yes. Now, you wonder with them, you know, they lose all the coordinators, you know, how much of that was a factor, and, you know, how much did that set them back, and can they recover from it going forward? I mean, I don't think their roster is significantly worse than it was, you know, the previous year or two. But, like, that's a factor, and, you know, it is. It's, you know, maybe, you know, to use the old Ron Wolf thing when they only won one Super Bowl, these guys didn't win one, didn't even get to one, but maybe they were just a fart in the wind, you know? Maybe it was just a short-term deal where it wasn't, you know, they weren't a real long-term contender, but, I mean, obviously time will tell. But it's a real opportunity for the Packers because, you know, like, I went back and looked at this from the playoff game last year. I was getting ready for a TV hit for later about, you know, how they should or how they might, you know, approach these games knowing they already have a playoff spot wrapped up. But, you know, maybe most people, I mean, there's plenty of people out there that say even if Love's cleared, protect him because you need him for the playoffs. But this quote from Matt LaFleur after they lost to the Eagles last year, I think it just goes back to show you the importance of getting these home field games. And he was talking about home field games in the playoffs. Like, yeah, this Packers team's made the playoffs 2 years in a row that they played exactly, well, now 3 years in a row, but they played exactly zero home playoff games. And, like, that matters, too. You know, I think that's if they don't, if Jordan Love is cleared and they don't play him for some reason, which I don't think would happen, I think it would obviously go against everything that Matt LaFleur had said after that Eagles game.
Rob, they are the seventh seed as of now. If they don't win both and the Bears don't lose both, they will be the seventh seed, maybe the sixth. There's a chance for that. But I kind of in the big picture, you know, I don't think you or I have necessarily banged this drum in any way. But do you have concern about Matt LaFleur's job security? If they're in the playoffs again. Yeah. If they end up playing on the road, it's hard to win playoff games on the road. Maybe they win, maybe they don't. I don't think you or I think they're getting to an NFC Championship game or a Super Bowl with the pieces that they're missing. But how do you kind of view where he's at and everything that we heard from Ed Policy at the end of the offseason program, et cetera?
Yeah. You almost said Ed Hockley, didn't you?
I did. I came very close to that. Yes.
He loves Ed Hockley.
Big arms. He loves big arms.
Ed Hockley would have signed the floor to a contract extension a long time ago. So, here's the thing, Jason. We have zero idea of what Ed Policy is like as a team president. And to be honest with you, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what you guys think. The only thing that matters is what Ed Policy thinks. And we have no idea what his we can speculate, you know, his dad fired Bill Walsh, his dad fired, you know, George Seifert, whatever. Like, traded Joe Montana. We have no idea. No idea. I think, you know, you start talking to people around the league, and this is interesting, you know, like when you go on the road and talk to other reporters. I remember being in New York, which I believe was right after they had lost a couple of games, right? And that was when the question came up to to about, you know, are you coaching for your job? I had some of the New York media guys were like, you know, the rough and tumble New York media were like, where's jobs? His jobs and his status is up in the air? What are you talking about? People would kill that.
Look at all you tough guys. Who thought that this beat was soft?
Right. Like, so my point is, though, that, like, around the league with, you know, at least with, you know, maybe fans and reporters, that they would be stunned to think that Matt LaFleur with that record is in any sort of trouble. But, you know, when you're here on a daily basis and they have, you know, some things haven't gone right, you never know. I really can't say what Ed Policy is going to do because I have no idea. The fact that, like, I'll just say this, until he has a contract extension, then I guess the question's valid.
Well, and we don't know. They don't announce contract extensions for these guys for whatever reason. I'm still dumbfounded by that, but they could have had an extension. We don't know about it.
Yeah, I actually had a talk with some people in the organization about that this past summer when Ed took over. I'm like, you guys can't operate this way anymore, like with these secret contract extensions. And I was assured that that would not be the way things are going forward. So I don't believe that there has been a contract extension done.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm happy to hear that.
Here is one wrinkle, Tausch, that maybe would be kept secret. If they didn't want to do a full-blown four-year extension, what if they just did the, we'll give you one more year like they did with McCarthy, because that one was not announced, right? And like, would you really want to announce? Because it's sort of like a vote of confidence, but it's not really much of a vote of confidence if you just add a year to their contract. So
it's a promise ring.
You gave one of those to some girl in high school, didn't you, Jason?
Yeah, you did, Wildy.
LaFleur
would never do that anyways, would he? Like, what, if LaFleur's in that case, wouldn't he just say, play it out and I'll be a free agent?
Yeah, if I were him, 100% I would do that. Because he's going to get a job in a heartbeat if he's the head coach here. So.
All right, last one for me, Rob. I was taken aback. I have been the biggest Goot stan. I think Brian Gutekunst has done a really good job, especially when he took over. The free agents that he's brought in, he's made big splash plays. But then on Tuesday, as we're doing the show, they announced the Pro Bowl. And the fact that we only had one blanking guy that was here brought in at the end of August, kind of made me think, are we overvaluing how good these players are because we cover and watch them so much? Because the rest of the league doesn't look at this roster the same way I think some of us, or is it just, it's a Pro Bowl, it's just a popularity. How did you view all of that?
Well, I'll take it as, I was definitely a little surprised, but then when you dig deeper on it, I mean, Tucker Kraft was going to be a Pro Bowler if he didn't. He was well on his way. He gets hurt. Mm-hmm. Elton Jenkins has been a Pro Bowl. I don't know that he was playing at a Pro Bowl level at center, but has been a Pro Bowl. And you know as well as I do, Tausch, that when you make it once or twice, you tend to make it three or four times as well, especially on the offensive line where it's, maybe a little bit more subjective and not stat-driven. Christian Watson has been playing very well, but he didn't play enough of a season to be a Pro Bowler. Josh Jacobs, numbers weren't as good as they were last year. I believe he was a Pro Bowler last year. Mm-hmm. I don't think Josh Jacobs has had a bad year. Xavier McKinney, same way. He just had a bunch of interceptions last year. Well, they had three last year. It was Jacobs, McKinney, and Rashawn Gary.
RG.
Obviously a reach there. But, I think that's a little bit of both, Tausch. I also think, the players that he added, the newest rounds of players, obviously Micah was a big one. He didn't, he swung and maybe missed a little bit in free agency, certainly missed with Hobbs, and then, Aaron Banks hasn't, been great. In the draft class, not that a lot of rookies make the Pro Bowl, but the draft class really hasn't done a whole lot either, and that doesn't mean it's not going to. But, I think when you look at it from the far away picture, you're like, boy, one Pro Bowl. Maybe this team isn't as good as I thought. But I would say this, and, maybe I'm biased or just the proximity bias. I think Jordan Love had better numbers than Sam Darnold did all across the board. So and Sam Darnold was the third Pro Bowl quarterback, so who knows?
All right, Rob. The Packers taking on the Ravens tomorrow night. You'll be there. I'll be there. It's the penultimate game of the regular season. Then they play the Vikings in the regular season finale, which we still don't know when that game will be played. We're still waiting on that information. As you continue to hope that the scheduling gods shine down on you with your other activities, basketball,
etc. Let's hope for Sunday afternoon. Actually, anytime Sunday. It won't be the night game, but Sunday afternoon would be great.
My question for you is this. How good do you think the Green Bay Packers are as the playoffs approach? Just you're in your 29th season. I'm in my 30th. You and your zinger about you should have been here for the first 28 years, the Halfley. What do you think? Just what's your gut tell you about this team?
Yeah. Here's what my gut tells me, Jason, and I mean, I think that we have examples from previous seasons that illustrate this. I certainly at this time in 2010 didn't think it was a Super Bowl season, but I guarantee you in 2011, I thought this at this time this was a, you know, what were they, 13-14-1 at this point in the season. I certainly thought they were a Super Bowl team. So I guess it you know, ultimately it doesn't matter what I think or what you think. But I do, here's what I do say is that you can't necessarily know like what a team's going to do until it starts winning playoff games. And once you win one playoff game, like I really thought after they won in Dallas 2 years ago, they had a legit shot. They could run it. I think they did. I mean, they lost basically on the last drive in San Francisco. And your whole opinion of that season and that team changed based on those, you know, couple of weeks there. So I do think this team still has the ability to change people's minds if they don't think they're any good. And I also think they have the ability to disappoint if you were expecting a long playoff run. So I it's hard to tell. I think they're like a lot of teams right now in football, is they're capable, but they're certainly not good enough to be a sure thing.
Yeah, I would feel a lot better about their chances if they had their best player on each side of the football still available to them.
No doubt.
The comp to the 2010 team and the guys that were injured, present company notwithstanding, there were some good players. I don't think there were the two field-tilting players. Not even Jay Mike was as good, in my opinion, as Tucker Kraft had become. So we'll see how it plays out.
Massive numbers, right? It was a 20 or whatever guys on IR, but how many starters? Tausch, JerMichael Finley, Nick Barnett, basically.
Yeah. And Desmond Bishop came in and played well for Nick Barnett. Brian Bulaga came in and played well for Old Boy. Like, they had.
But you're talking about your two. I mean, when you're looking at Tucker Kraft and Michael Parsons, those are Pro Bowl best at their position guys. And that's hard to overcome. But I'll say, defensively. Not at all.
Rob, enjoy your day, buddy. We'll see you tomorrow.
That was a great hit today, Rob. Hey, thanks for working, too,
great,
by the way. That's
great.
What a grinder.
We had the audio problems.
Good.
Come on.
That's Jesse. That's
good.
Not Rob.
That was on me. Yeah,
that's
Rob.
Jesse.
Good. Rob had a great showing. Yeah.
Rob right, was Rob. Good. Sorry. Real
great,
good today.
Great job. Take it in, shower up.
We'll see you guys.
You worked hard.
I will.
All right. That's Rob Domofsky. You can read his stories on ESPN.com if you can find them. And he joins us every Friday here on Wilde and Tausch. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Thanks again to Rob Domofsky for joining us. Packers.
Oh, look
Ravens.
At Rob laughing. Look at that picture of Rob.
I didn't want to take that picture down just yet. He looks so
look
fun.
Look at how happy he is.
He's a happy guy sometimes. Packers taking on the Ravens tomorrow night at Lambeau Field. Again, that program or that that game shown on Peacock. If you are in the Madison area, you do not have the luxury of it being broadcast on the NBC affiliate like you do in the Green Bay Fox Cities TV market and in the Milwaukee market. So have you come up with a plan?
No, not yet.
Because I know you're not a lawbreaker, so you're not going to get some sort of bootleg.
Hotel in Johnson Creek.
No.
That's my recommendation. Go get a hotel in Johnson Creek.
We have a hockey game sort of in between, so maybe I'll just pit stop. But we're doing the post-game show, I believe. I hope we're doing the post-game show. I guess I don't know. I didn't ask.
With Alex Strolf?
Jesse, can you confirm that that's on tomorrow?
Green Bay game night will be happening on Saturday night, as will Green Bay game day before the game.
Oh,
from
fun.
4 o'clock until kickoff on our ESPN Wisconsin stations and on YouTube.
Well, fun. I think yesterday is the first time that I thought back to the Mark Cuban quote, which has been violently wrong.
Oh, pigs
and
get
I am
slaughtered.
Starting to wonder where NFL's getting a little greedy. Like, that trough is full. The thing they have going is fantasy football playoffs. People are intrigued, but I am as big of an NFL fan as there is, and I think I watched the last 3 minutes of the Vikings Lions game, and that was about it. Yesterday's game sucked. They just weren't great, and they weren't important. So I think we have to start at least thinking maybe we need to slow our roll. And the fact that people are playing Brosmer and I don't even know Kansas City's quarterback, this should be a stark reminder we don't need to go to 18 games. That's what I took from yesterday.
I think we should stop doing the Christmas Day game. Maybe one at night. But in two, I don't know about anyone else. In 2 years for the Netflix games, I've watched 0 seconds of the Netflix games.
Well, the last one was on Prime.
Oh yeah, the last one was on Prime. The last one, Packers was on Prime. They weren't on Netflix. That's true. They weren't.
Yeah, they were on regular Fox a couple of years ago. And they've done a couple of, like, going back many years when Christmas Day is on like a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. There's been an NFL game or two. That's a little different. But these Wednesday, Thursday games.
I hate to say it, though. Jell, I agree with you, but it ain't going to happen. They're going to keep doing it. I mean, they found a way to do a Tuesday, Wednesday. Like, they found ways to get, if Christmas is on a Wednesday, they found ways to play last year.
The Packers played, did they play on Christmas? Let me check the schedule here. By the way, in case you didn't watch any football on Christmas, the Cowboys beat the Commanders. Then, of course, the Vikings at home beat the Lions and their 6 turnovers. And then, I honestly never watched a second of this game. Is this was the prime game. Broncos beat the Chiefs.
Travis
what's
Kelce.
Left of the Chiefs.
Yep. End of an era.
I agree with Tausch. Like, it felt like, now, if the games were meaningful.
Yeah,
if there
I'd
were,
be all in.
And obviously, I watched some of Vikings-Lions because that game was germane to the Packers. But it just did. It felt like kind of a, you got 3 injured quarterbacks that aren't in the mix. Like, it was not a great slate.
It wasn't great.
I don't know if it's fair to say that'll be the case going forward, but you're right about...
I ended up catching one of those Hallmark movies on Netflix that was about some gal that ended up dressing up as Santa Claus, and she ended up falling in love with the owner of the ski resort. It was a good little movie, which I didn't think I was ever going to watch, but I clicked on Netflix, sure enough, and it was a pretty good little flick.
Did you watch it alone, or did the rest of the family watch it with you?
Not watching that alone.
Instead of crying in your popcorn.
If you get sucked in.
No,
like,
Home Alone, I'll watch alone.
Home Alone was on a lot on our TV yesterday.
Jingle All the Way too, Larry the Cable Guy.
No, what I don't understand, someone has to explain to me why we pay for all these services and then they still try to charge you rent for a movie. Like, that's absurd to me.
Sure,
it can't happen. Like, it's absurd. Like, somebody explain to me how that's possible.
Yeah, they don't include, not everything is included in your streaming package. But the good news is the Coors Light and the Blue Mountains are always included on your can or bottle.
And it's brewed with that 3-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged, so it is made to chill in those mountains on Coors Light's cold activated bottles and cans. Make sure they're blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection. It's only 102 calories. It is made to chill. Sub, responsible Coors Brewing Company, a Golden, Colorado.
Our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week are next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Rolls on. Packers Ravens tomorrow night on Tausch's favorite streaming service, Peacock. You can also watch the first of the 2 Wicked movies there, I believe. But if you're in Milwaukee or you're in the
Green
Bay Fox
cities, how much they charge
in
rent on those? How much?
No, those are included. The first one is. I don't think the second one's made it there yet.
That's nice.
I haven't watched it, but So you're like committing like 6 hours to watch both movies. However, if you're in Milwaukee or you're in the Green Bay Fox cities, you can watch it on your local NBC affiliate. And maybe you'll see one of these players that we select as our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week rise up and lead the Packers to victory. Don't sleep,
you gotta stay up. Hey there, sleepyhead. Wakey, wakey.
Okay, camper, rise and shine.
It's time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week on Wilby and Tausch.
It is time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. Thanks to Geriad for continuing to be judge, jury, and executioner after being dismissed from his volunteer job.
Yeah, non-sanctioned. None of this counts. Just for the record.
Look at this high-tech graphic they've been putting together lately.
They do really nice work. Yeah.
Nice work. I'm not sure who authorized or validated that, but you putting it up on the stream probably does.
In fairness, I don't remember us actually agreeing to having you decide that your organization...
565, we did talk about it, and you guys voted yes, that the 565 firm would. And then, now, it's fair that I fired them unequivocally without asking you, but someone has to be the CEO of an operation, and I was. And now I've lost control.
Is that a publicly traded company that you are the CEO of there?
If it is, we'd be in big trouble. We're not Silver. Wow, what a run Silver's on.
Not Mike Silver.
Jason clinches victory for the season with a win this week.
Now, postseasons are doubled. Nothing's clinched. Come on. And that's not even a legitimate... It's not legitimate polling.
Since when are postseasons doubled? I don't remember that
since
rule.
When you finish in first place in the regular season every other year.
Time now to select our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. And the CEO / authoritarian of the program picks first.
Authoritarian. Is Colin Oliver going to play?
Baby Micah?
Yeah, I saw you compared him to Micah Parsons, which, again,
I did not compare him to Micah Parsons.
I thought I saw an article at Channel 3000 that you did.
No. Maybe that was one of the AP Wire stories that they sneak in there, but no. They are calling him Baby Micah, which, if you remember, Harold Miner, you have to be very old to remember him, but
Baby
he
Jordan?
Was the alleged Baby Jordan. He did not live up to his namesake. So
a great dunk contest.
Let's not put that pressure on Colin Oliver. But yeah, he's available. We'll see if he's active. We'll see if he's a fact. I would say Brenton Cox.
I can't take that risk.
Brenton Cox is more likely to have an impact than Colin Oliver.
JJ Anagbare for me. I'm going back to JJ. I think he's going to have a day. So I'm going JJ Anagbare as my Steinhoffel Sleeper of the Week.
Is that a sleeper?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. He's not even a starter. Rashawn Gary and Lucas Van Ness are starters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jell.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a great choice, Tausch.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, Jesse, who you got?
I'm torn between Wiley and one of the running backs.
Torn between two lovers.
Because now with Fitzpatrick out, Wiley's going to get the reps when Musgrave's not out there when they go two tight ends. Let's go Josh Wiley. Josh Wiley, a Jordan Love touchdown pass to Josh Wiley this week. It's my Steinhoffel Sleeper of the Week, and I'll be cheering him on in section whatever I'll be sitting in.
Josh Wiley coming off the concussion. He missed the Bears game. He is back from the concussion protocol. I'm gonna stick with my guy, and I didn't even write about him this week. But there's really limited options at the tight end position with Josh Wiley. I'm sticking with Bambi. With Luke Musgrave. It's a big one this week.
Okay.
And I had a few people crack jokes at my expense because I asked Matt LaFleur and I think I asked Steno if Luke Musgrave has found his footing, and I didn't even think of it at the time. Like, I wish I had been that clever. But he has. He's had some very good moments. There have been encouraging signs from him. So he's kind of finding his way
after being kind of the forgotten man for the last several seasons. So I will take Luke Musgrave as my Steinhoffel sleeper of the week. The rare back-to-back selections. So we'll see how that pans out. Those are our Steinhoffel sleepers of the week. You can make yours on our social media channels after Jesse posts them. And you can also take advantage of the year-end sale, which is on right now at Steinhoffel's. These are the kinds of deals you want to catch before the calendar flips. You'll get 10% off store-wide on the furniture you've been eyeing, plus 18-month 0% financing to make it work with your budget. That's what we used with our new living room set. 18 months, 0% interest financing on sofas, sectionals, bedroom sets, dining rooms, every style, every room, every price point. It is a great way to start the new year with a home you truly love. But don't wait. When the year ends, those deals end as well. So check them out in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. The 10 o'clock hour is over. The 11 o'clock hour begins in 2 minutes. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.